President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour or so. We apologize for a network shutdown or breakdown. It wasn't our fault. It was the fault of the network streaming service, and I think they're going to give everyone a chalupa the next time you go to Taco Bell or something like that. Anyway, these things happen sometimes. It happens in mainstream, and what they usually do when they break down is they put commercials up. We don't do that on BBS Radio. However, we do occasionally play commercials. We're not going to right now, though. Why do you think this happened today at such a precipitous time? Well, on the West Coast, it's still the 5th of June. On the East Coast now, it's D-Day, and it so happens to coincide with the first day meeting of the Bilderberg Group somewhere near Dulles in Virginia. So it's quite interesting that the Bilderbergs actually are planning the next stage of the New World Order in our own country with all this madness going on. We're going to talk about some of the madness in the elections this year. We have word that sometime by this weekend, maybe by Saturday, Hillary Clinton is officially going to drop out of the election. Let's have a round of applause for Hillary Clinton dropping out of the election. And all the other candidates that have fallen by the wayside. And when we have the remaining two of the three stooges out of the picture, I think maybe we could sneak Ron Paul in there. At least that would be our hopes. Tonight, my special guest, and that's the end of my editorial comment. Tonight, my special guests are the publishers and my personal editors and good friends from the Idaho Observer. They have published some of these genealogy pieces that I talk about on my show over the last year or so. Actually, I'm getting close to my anniversary this month, and as far as my radio show is concerned. And I have known them for about a year and a half, a little over a year and a half, actually, because I knew them before I actually had my first piece published in their newspaper. And I can tell you they're very bright, they're tolerant of me, and very patient, very creative, very interested in the future of the United States of America and the people here, especially the welfare of our children, the well-being of our senior citizens, and everyone in between. And they take interest in many areas and personally take on the cause on your behalf. And tonight they're here to speak with the listening audience and me on Evident Footprints. Welcome to the show, Don Harkins and Ingrid Castle. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great. I think we were wondering who was going to speak up first. So
I was going to the ladies first thing, and she didn't pick up on it immediately because it's so alien to our general relationship.
Right, yeah. I always walk a few steps behind him, and that we like it that way.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Well, so how are you? You haven't said. Either one, how are you?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, I'm doing okay. We just came back from an interesting talk that people found out about at the last minute. David Irving, he's a historian. His expertise is World War II. Many people would call him a revisionist historian, but he actually is very accurate with what really happened in World War II because he goes directly to the records. He doesn't just, you know, pick up on what other people have written, but he goes exactly to source material. And he has over 30 textbook-type, you know, books to his credit, and he's been vilified for bringing the truth about what really happened during World War II out. So it was amazing. Apparently three people showed up for his talk in Billings, Montana, and the room was packed in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. So we just kind of left that engagement, you know, all within 48 hours, everyone just word of mouth were told that he was going to make this appearance. And, you know, being a world-renowned figure, we all were like, oh, my gosh, he's going to be here. I guess we better get going. So it was very interesting. It was a good cross-section of people. And, you know, I just kind of threw that out because apparently he is touring all over the United States in various towns. So you might want to just do a search on the Internet and try to find out where he's speaking next. Mm-hmm. Could be in your area and you wouldn't even know it.
Yeah, he's doing, he said, this is a rather aggressive tour. He's 70 years old, and a little bit over a year ago, maybe it was a year and a half or so ago, he was released from 14 months in prison in Austria, and he's 70 years old and recovering from that event still, I'm sure, if you ever actually can. And he's got a very limited visa in the United States. The number of countries that he is able to visit at this time have dwindled to really being rather few. And he can only be here for a short period of time, so he's doing 60 cities in about 60 days, and he's driving. I think he's got somebody driving with him, but that's a rather mm-hmm. aggressive tour, and he's very much enjoying the trip. And he said something before we left that I just want to share with everybody, because I think this is very relevant, and it spills over into so many other areas of investigation. And, Don, you're quite familiar with that, too, and you go to source material for much of your work, and you flesh it out with other things that other people have written and said. But he said to a guy who was questioning what his life was going to be like now that he's a convicted felon and he's been discredited and all these things, and he said, who would you rather believe, somebody who prints with the government, a historian that prints what the government tells them, or a historian that's willing to go to prison for what he writes? Wow. I just found that to be extremely powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, very impressed.
Yeah. Well,
you were just probably thinking on it at a very deep level.
He's corroborating what I have always said, and that's that they go after those that are telling the truth. Why is the truth such a threat to what they're doing? If what they're doing is of integrity, it should be no threat. And so, yes, that is a very powerful statement that he made. Now,
the truth does not fear investigation.
Yes, I think the main point to bring out for the listening audience is that he has been very outspoken about what actually happened. He has written about the Holocaust and other key events that have been portrayed in a certain light historically, and it's what they teach in the schools, and he's basically debunked all that stuff, and that's why they took him out, basically. Do you want to expound on that at all, either one of you?
Well, it was really an interesting evening. He went into one of the things, because he's a historian, and so he's already done certain work. He doesn't dwell on that. He just goes forward with his knowledge, and I think that's rather typical of historians. They get very much into one area of research, and then that sort of exhausts itself, and then on they go to another project. And I'm very sympathetic to that. That's kind of what we do here on a month-by-month basis, and that's certainly what you do as well, Don. You exhaust a certain avenue, and then you go for it. And so now he's read that the British particularly, during the war, had many, many cryptographers that were intercepting German communiques and translating them. And then after the war, when a bunch of these guys were imprisoned as war criminals, they were being recorded all the time in their cells, 24/7. All the time these guys were being recorded. And these would be rather candid conversations, one would think. Prisoners having no idea. I mean, they're in prison. They've been stripped of just about everything, their rank, they're in prison clothes, eating prison food, and in prison confinement, and they're talking to one another, going, you know, what the heck is going on, or whatever very, very candid conversations they'd be having with one another. And there was, gosh, I think 42 volumes, he said, of 15,000 pages each. And he said he's read all that stuff. And it was like you, again, you're looking for needles in a haystack. He referred to them as a diamond. You know, you go through an entire day of reading stuff and may find 5 to 10 little diamonds that begin to put things into perspective. So he read all this material and almost nobody else ever has. And reading between the lines and comparing what's been written in history, he came up to some rather interesting conclusions about what the German machine, the Third Reich, and what was going on with regard to this quote, Holocaust of the Jews and this genocidal agenda. That was really quite fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I have to agree. I mean, if I parallel, and I'm not calling myself a David Irving by any means, if I parallel his work to what I have done, I notice similarities in what he's looked at and similarities in what he's found, even though he's probably gone about it in a slightly different direction. And that's based upon where he is and the fact that he had access to documents that I did not. I've used other means and you know, discernment and tying these things together. And they're bearing out just as valid. So I don't have reason to disagree with anything he's written, although I've not read everything he has written. But I am familiar with his work.
Well, I took a little bit of exception, I think, to what I perceived were maybe some of his conclusions, but maybe they were not. But the tendency among some people is to find heroes and stick to them, even if some additional information kind of changes what your impression of them should be. But he got the impression that it was not Hitler's agenda to continue or to pull off this mass genocide of the Jews, that much of that was handled beneath him, that it was kind of a private genocidal agenda that was being exacted by Heinrich Himmler, perhaps on a level or on a scale that has been significantly blown out of proportion in history.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't find Hitler probably quite so guiltless in all of that, but perhaps I think that we've even expounded a little bit on the idea in your material, from which, by the way, it was April, May, and June of 2007 that we did the Scherf story. So
yeah.
You've already eclipsed your 1 year anniversary with us.
Well, don't forget I did the Wantagate story in January of 2007.
Yeah, that's correct. That's right.
So it goes
back. We're way eclipsed.
Let me ask you something, either one of you, on the basis of what I have been researching, and this is sort of a cooperative project between all of us, because I had been doing this research and you had gotten in interested in it, and when you approached me, I said, "Yeah, sure, I'm already doing something along those lines." Are you seeing any synchronicity in what we're experiencing and the work that David Irving did?
I personally find it really fascinating knowing a little bit about him, but I too have not read all these books because I always have to focus on where I'm going to get the most mileage in terms of how I'm going to be realistically serving humanity at this time. And I do find that it's important to look at this stuff because we are being lied to on so many levels, but Hitler was known to be a vegan vegetarian and have really very strong leadership capabilities. I mean, he was very charismatic. Now, what we wanted to ask was, after you did the Scherf articles, many people in Germany knew that he was not born in Austria or Germany, that he spoke his German with a British accent. You could tell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you are, you know, born in Germany, you can tell that when someone is speaking your language with a different accent, you can often tell what country they were from. And so the assumption was that, well, you know, he was actually being trained, maybe at Tavistock, for the role he was playing. So, you know, at this point, after going to the lecture and then, you know, hearing these bits and pieces, you know, he becomes more and more a mysterious figure to me that I really, I don't consider him anything that we were necessarily taught he was, but he's certainly not Lily White either. I mean, who was he? But he was the front man for a lot of evil shenanigans, a lot of evil people that were working with him as the guy up front.
Mm-hmm.
My impression.
This whole group of people, as we're learning, has this knack for blaming what goes on someone else so that they're never exposed as the perpetrators, even though they are orchestrating it. And yes, you're right about Tavistock, and you can add the Jesuits and the Vatican in there, too, because they have their interests all over the world because they're the money changers. They're collecting money at their universities and at their churches and their little private schools and through all of their public relations efforts and through their concordats with various governments. So they have financial interests all over the world, and they wield a lot of power to those that bend to that economic pressure that they can put on them, diplomatically or through the military of a country like the United States or Great Britain or Germany or Russia or any of these countries. You always have the same bankers, the same players, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and the Bronfmans and on. That now today it's a little different. We know Li Ka-shing is part of this and that China plays a role in it. But we're seeing it in the global perspective, and this is kind of scaring them now because this information is being debunked in real time. David Irving is one such guy, and there are other writers that have done this. Dr. John Coleman has come out with a substantial amount of information about who the corporate structures are, and they all tell the same story about Tavistock.
Mm-hmm.
They all talk about Tavistock. So you're very correct, Ingrid. And she beat you to the punch, Don, so I have to credit her.
Well, no, it's quite all right. I just always know that it's like a huge training ground because I've dealt with it in the vaccine movement where they move in someone that's clearly trained in manipulation and mind control when we've been really successful. And all of a sudden, I mean, you know, I just have to tell you, they have this Jay Lieberman that totally filled the Tavistock bill. He's a MD in Southern California that's part of the whole, you know, pro-vaccine agenda. And when we took a CDC woman, gosh, I have it in the Idaho Observer, her name is slipping my mind, of course, but, we knew that she had a few stiff drinks after we were done with her, you know, at her little, you know, vaccine update training thing that was for daycare providers where they would get continuing education credit, that kind of thing. And after that experience with us here, they got a professional in here. They wouldn't allow anyone that wasn't clearly trained. And the guy was brilliant. I mean, people afterwards were very upset with me that I didn't speak up, but it wasn't my venue. I was in his territory, and I told him, I said, it wasn't really my place to speak up. I was more fascinated than anything of how he effectively skirted your concerns, your questions, was so smooth. I mean, it was really something to watch. I mean, Don was a witness to it. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, these guys are experts.
Yes.
At this. I mean, there is a whole way that you can manipulate people's thought processes fairly easily without them even knowing it.
Yes, well, now this brings us to tonight's topic, and not that I want to skirt away from, you know, VacLib or anything like that, because I know that how dear that is to your heart. And
no, I just wanted to throw out the, you know, just, you know, my experience with what I consider Tavistock training, you know.
Yes, exactly. We have this election going on, I just want to do a quick overview that with all of this garbage that's, you know, the mudslinging and the name-calling and the accusations, and there's a lot of truth coming out, but you're not hearing it on the mainstream media. The alternative media on the Internet is keeping up with all the facts about these people. And I tell you, people's minds are going to be blown when we release this new information out on these candidates. I just know it.
Oh, excuse me, Don.
Yeah.
One of the things that I would like to do, and I apologize for interrupting, but I would like to qualify the importance of what's going on in this country now with what we prefer to call the Ron Paul Revolution in deference to the subject matter that we've been discussing here previously. One of them is it's a hobby and it's fascinating, and it's also very important for us to realize as we go one by one and blow the fantasies that are conditioned into our minds, things like anybody can be president and this is a free country and all that stuff. That is very true so long as you don't step out of line or question anything. Now, of course, the nonsense about anybody can be president, your work is proving that that's hogwash, that these people are all created and they're inserted into our culture generations ago and they've come forward to perform the functions that they are now. That stuff is just amazing. But the reason all of this takes hold is this is all symptomatic. If you look at the Bush White House and perpetual war and a crumbling economy and moral degradation and environmental disasters, all this stuff is symptomatic of a rot that really has taken hold, taken root, and grown in the hearts and minds of the American people at the very, very basic level at which they interact with society. And in politics, well, in society, that would be neighborhoods. How do you treat your neighbor? Do you know your neighbor? Do you work well with your neighbor? Do you share with your neighbor? Do you protect your neighbor? How neighborly are you? And in America, we have a tendency to be not very neighborly. And then once you get one rung above that, you enter into the world of politics. And the very building block of politics and the political structure in this country is at the precinct level, which is a kind of a snazzy word for your neighborhood level. And there's precinct committee people, and those are the ones that should be going to you in your neighborhood if you're not one yourself and saying, "Hi, I'm your precinct committee guy, and I would like to know what's on your mind," and then I will carry that to the precinct committee meetings, and then we will carry this information forward, and on up the ladder it goes, and everybody's interests will be represented. Well, the process is poisoned at the source, which is you and me. And the Ron Paul Revolution has inspired I just returned from the Washington State Republican Convention. We're about an hour from Spokane, Washington, and Ingrid and I, just because of the newspaper and our levels of activism and experience in these areas, have been kind of involved in a lot of different Ron Paul meetup groups. And so I had the opportunity and the distinct pleasure and honor of being mic'd in as a guy on the outside of the convention to the guys that were on the inside, and it was just fascinating how everything unfolded. But what it was about 1,500 people in this convention, and a little more than 40% of them were Ron Paul delegates, and the other were John McCain delegates, which made for a really interesting thing that you aren't reading about in the press. There's a revolution going on in this country, and what happened in a very, very short period of time, we recognized that wanting Ron Paul to be president is all well and good, but unless you get delegates, you lose. He doesn't have a chance. I mean, it's just not going to happen. So, and he is a Republican, and he's established as a Republican, so this was the vehicle in order to carry the Ron Paul bid for the Republican nomination forward. So a year ago is about when this stuff began starting, and I remember being at a conference with 9/11 Truth Conference in Chandler, Arizona, and this was right about this late February, early March of last year, and D.V. Kidd, a woman who I have tremendous respect for, this is just about the time that Ron Paul had announced that he was going to be running for president, and she said, "You know, everybody's all excited, and Ron Paul's a great guy and everything, and I'm living in Texas now, but, you know, unless he doesn't have a chance, there's no way that he's going to be able to get the delegates to get any real juice going to make it to a convention and win the Electoral College." And I'll be darned if that didn't actually happen. I bet Devi herself is absolutely amazed, because what happened is we realized that, and most of us have stayed completely away from politics our whole life because we found out that most of the people involved in politics are the ones that we didn't like in high school, you know. So we've kind of stayed away from that. But we realize that the country is in crisis and that we have to do something, and this is our last and greatest opportunity to change things. And so people did it. They rolled up their sleeves, held their noses, and went right into the political system and got themselves elected as precinct committee people. And then once they get to be precinct committee people, they're in a position to cast votes for delegates. And like I said, the state of Washington, their convention just completed last Saturday, and we didn't walk out of there as many delegates as we should because of the intense shenanigans that were being pulled by the Republican establishment. But it was such an incredible show of force, and that's exactly where this revolution has to begin. It's in the hearts and minds of Americans. It's at the very, very basic building block political structure closest to your homes, and that's the place that touches our hearts. And the people who were involved, they varied in age from 18 delegates to the Washington State Convention to choose a president of the United States. These are people, and I'm not kidding, 18 years old, tattoos, nose rings, and all the way up to people who are 80 years old. I mean, it was magnificent. It was America, Don. It was something. And so that's why when I say the revolution is on, it really is. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people are trying to get back into their local politics and remake it in the image of decency and honor in the American way, and it's working.
That's what my comments were going to lead up to.
Sorry, I got a little carried away. I've got a lot of juice on this subject right now.
Well, basically what I was going to say is we're not hearing a lick about Ron Paul, as we all know, those of us who know who Ron Paul is. And you ask somebody, who's Ron Paul? They don't even know. They've never heard of him before. And the mainstream media has been complicit in carrying out that extreme right-wing agenda that you see on Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, all the major networks, not to mention just the lies that come out about all these people. Now, there are things coming out about these candidates that also have not been heard. You've heard the Larry and I'm going to switch just for a moment. Let's talk about the opposition. These are the people that they picked out. And we've talked about McCain to an extent. I've written about McCain. You've published it in your paper. It coincides with other information that's been out there for years about John McCain. Yet they picked this guy as a total puppet. They picked, right now, it appears that they've allowed Barack Obama. There seems to be some kind of event being planned behind the scenes. Because we know a year ago the Bilderberg Group had picked Hillary Clinton as their choice to be the next president. And now that Barack Obama has, for all intents and purposes, won the nomination through the delegates, at least it appears that. You still have the convention, but it appears on the surface that he's wrapped it up. Now the talk of assassination is out there with all these people, and rightfully so, because they've done this before. I mean, they've taken out presidents, so why not take out a candidate if it's not the one that they want in there? And still, you don't hear that type of talk coming from the Ron Paul people in general. I mean, he's a threat to the status quo on either side. He's a force that's bringing people together. And that's the part of tonight's show that I'd like to focus on, is bringing all these people that are unaware. How do we awaken people? How do we get more people involved in this process that you're describing?
Well, I'm just going to interject here. Just about every time we go out of the house, we run into some stranger, and we're fairly vocal. But I wear Ron Paul shirt and pin wherever I go. And even just today, someone says, I thought he dropped out of the race. I mean, this is really typical. And I said, oh, that's what they want you to believe. People really need to turn off their TV. And one of the gals I've been working with who lost her baby, you know, her only child to vaccines, she's done 180 degrees, but she's so frustrated because she's got all her information in the past from the television. So, you know, with that in mind, whenever she sees me, she's going, oh, my gosh, they're saying this, that, and why aren't they talking at all about Ron Paul? Even my parents say that. You never hear a peep about him. I said, well,
he's obviously dangerous to the agenda. And what's happened is that all the people involved in what we call the Ron Paul Revolution, we, like Ron Paul, realize this is for the long term. This is not just about Ron Paul for president. We are going through the motions hoping, yeah, we would love to see him as president, but we have done miracles in 8 months. We have brought so many people forward in getting involved in local politics. There's more people involved in the Republican Party than has been involved in the last 20 years. We're filling up all the empty precinct committee positions, and we're literally taking over the Republican Party, and it's very much a threat that their only response is to really discredit themselves as a party in their reaction to us. And that is what's going on. Ron Paul people are behaving honorably, and they try to turn that around, and it's all backfiring on them. And so we're using this opportunity as a civics lesson. We're teaching people the control of the media, how the Pentagon, much of the money that's controlling the media is funneled with your tax dollars through the Pentagon. So I'm just, we're using it as an educational tool. We did just reprint Common Sense 2, Ron Paul 2008, Hope for America. It looks gorgeous. I'm getting a lot of orders for these little teeny booklets. And what it is, it's a 70-page little booklet that gives the history of our country in a nutshell and how we got here from there, systematically, from the 1800s on forward, how we lost our money system, on. And I hear the music.
Yes, we're going to take a short break here, Ingrid and Don. And we'll be right back. I want you to hold your train of thought, and I'm going to turn the mic over to you as soon as we get back in a moment. Folks, stay with us. You're listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and we're going to be right back with our special guests, Ingrid Castle and Don Harkins of the Idaho Observer. Don't go away.
The Idaho Observer, a monthly 24-page newspaper in its ninth year of addressing issues that affect all freedom-loving Americans, is one of the few remaining newspapers courageous enough to print the truth. Concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you? Subscribe today. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues, the Idaho Observer prints what you need to know to be a fully informed American. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307.
HempUSA.org is now offering free shipping worldwide to better serve our customers. Our goal is to get these fine hemp products to you in the least amount of time so you can enjoy what the powder seeds and oil can do for you. HempUSA.org has a warning that the U.S. food supplies are dangerously low, and we urge you to protect your family with hemp storable foods today. Tomorrow may be too late. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. This incredible food source is loaded with enzymes so your body can digest the food you eat, and it creates an alkaline environment where cancer can't grow and parasites cannot live, brings funguses, viruses, and bacterial levels down and to a halt. Try our powder seeds and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. If the body has the proper nutrition, it will heal itself. Ask yourself, why does our government not allow this crop to grow in the U.S.? This product is also great for pets and animals. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Second half of Evident Footprints here on bbsradio.com, and our guests, Ingrid Castle and Don Harkins from the Idaho Observer. Bet you didn't know you were going to hear one of your radio ads, did you, folks?
No, I just actually commented. Ingrid went away from the phone for a moment. I said, my gosh, he's playing one of our old RBN ads.
Well,
yeah, that was
the,
a surprise.
With the music I added, actually.
Yeah, very good. Very good tip, or a very good touch, I think.
Yeah. Well, we got a new sponsor on the show, too, Hemp USA, and I want to encourage folks, to, if you go to my website, directlightproductions.com, on the homepage at the bottom is a direct link to go there, and we're going to start plastering stuff on VBS Radio. They're actually going to sponsor the network as well. Our network is growing by leaps and bounds, as they tell me the show is, so I'm grateful for that. That's a tribute to my listening audience and the quality of the guests we have on. And before we took our break, Ingrid was talking about some of the experiences that are going on in the community with the people that she's running into on the street who are virtually either clueless about Ron Paul or of the impression that he has dropped out. Ingrid, are you back with us?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Okay. I want to just emphasize that people that see the Ron Paul revolution for the opportunity it is, it's, for many patriots, it's the most exciting thing that's happened in the last 50 years, is just the fact that he began running and people saw it as the hope for America that it really means. Because, you know, it's really easy to say, oh, my gosh, I'm only one person. You know, let's just eat, drink, and be merry. There's nothing I can do about it, you know. And that's really not the case. I mean, if we have enough of an awakening, we can get involved in the political process and halt the, you know, forward stepping on the New World Order agenda. And that really is our hope as a, you know, humanity for this planet, is that we can halt these draconian measures that are being planned for us. So, anyway, you know, we were able to meet in Washington. Actually, Don did. Many people from Whatcom County, that's where Bellingham, Washington is the seat. That's the furthest northwestern city in the country. And we've had an old-time subscriber. He's 83 years old now. His name is Ben Hinkle. And he had became a patriot after he saw the garbage in World War II. And so he's been active trying to reach out to people to get involved, writing letters to the editor, having a meetup, his own, you know, patriot meetup group. And, you know, he, you know, feeling like he's going to persist no matter what and not really getting anywhere until the Ron Paul revolution came about. And people started coming to his meetings. He has over 100 people coming to his meetings. They had a it was a whole Ron Paul County. All their delegates are primarily Ron Paul. And we were able to meet these people. We've never met him, but we were able to meet these people that just revere him as their hero. This is after over 50 years of hard work. He's getting his just rewards, you know, just for being there and able to coach them along and educate them. And that's what Don and I have done. We've produced some really basic pieces of literature, because people, you know, they only have time to read so much, but there's always references in the back for those that want to read. So we try to summarize, you know, what happened to our country, why our founders even started this country. I mean, how many people realize that they tapped into the secret of minting their own money and not relying on the whole Bank of England for monetizing their money? That was a Pandora's box that had to be shut right away, because that's how they control whole civilizations, is through their ability to control the economy through the money system. So there's a lot of this hidden history that most people have no idea. You know, we have total control of public schools. It's very sanitized, the history that we are taught. And so this is our opportunity for people that have these truths in history that need to come forward at this time so that we can turn things around. It's our opportunity to bring this forward, because people are realizing, my gosh, something is seriously wrong. You know, they want to round up and chip all my animals. They want to chip me. They want us to have a national ID. Something is just not feeling very right about this. You know, I mean, when they have equipment with all the sheriffs and the police departments that are now under the jurisdiction of Homeland Security, sounds like totally something out of Nazi Germany. I mean, and they now have a mandate starting this month that they're going to have this equipment. They're under the jurisdiction of Homeland Security, and they can, any car that's driving by, they can scan your car with this new technology and find out how much money you have, all the credit cards, you know, just about everything has a little chip in it, so they know all kinds of information about you. They don't need a national ID. They can just scan all the strips and chips that are already on your person and in your car. And most people have no idea they even exist. But they already have it. So, you know, all this fight against the national ID when you're carrying a credit card that's chipped, well, and money that's all, you know, chipped, and if there's threads, you know, in all of our money. So they can tell if you have 250s and 320s in your wallet. They know you have that. That's what you have in cash by just scanning your car as it's driving by.
what you're describing, if it's any consolation, I will hearten both of you. When we publish parts 2 and 3 in terms of the other two candidates that are in this Three Stooges story that I'm doing, we will all have a much clearer picture of what's going on in the world. I can guarantee you that. Don has heard hints of that already, to an extent. You have too, Ingrid. It's all going to come out in the wash, so to speak. And we
will
understand
why really
this insanity is going on.
Well, you had some very exciting research, I know, that you called us about right when we were trying to get out of the house. Save it for the radio show, Don.
Well, I'm saving it for the paper,
actually.
If you
don't mind, I would like to expound just a little bit more on the awakening aspect of things that are going on. And one of the really prime little windows into this is it's in the political realms itself. One of the things that happened in Washington, or in Spokane at the Washington Convention, was that the rules were changed by executive session a couple of days in advance of the convention in violation of Spokane County rules, state rules, national rules, and probably even Washington State open meeting law. And they changed the rules to make it just kind of one-sided for the delegate choosing process so that the Ron Paul people would be denied equal representation. So, in essence, what happened there is that the people of the state of Washington, through the process, were denied their vote by the Republican Party. Now, and also, Idaho's primary happened the Tuesday before last, and then the next day, the Kootenai County, which is the second largest county in Idaho, and it's the county just south of us here, held its reorganization meeting. And for those who are not familiar, after a primary, precinct committee people are elected, and new people then are going into the counties as officers, and then the precinct committee people elect new officers, and then a new cycle of the party executive staff begins. And they came right in with a slate of delegates, didn't allow anybody to choose. There were 14 new Ron Paul supporting delegates there. They were not able to choose any delegates. And they just picked their slate and away it went. And it enraged a lot of people because now, during the primary, that county, Kootenai County, had a 30% popular vote for Ron Paul. And now suddenly all of the people who are now delegates to the state convention from Kootenai County are McCain supporters. So the people of Kootenai County were robbed, 30% of them were robbed of their vote by the establishment Republican Party. And even the party faithful, these are largely people who believe in the system, and they think that they have a voice, and they think that they're allowed to vote their conscience, and they just saw what happened, and they're questioning stuff big time. And now going back to the Washington Convention, the Ron Paul people were being bamboozled at every direction. They had prepared mightily and had rehearsed Robert's rules, had strategized it. They thought prepared for every contingency. They weren't prepared for them to change the rules without telling anybody. That just came out of nowhere, absolutely. And there
that's obviously illegal. I mean, do they intend to do anything about this in either of these cases that you're describing?
Sure, but what are the remedies? It's a private club, so you can protest internally. Where will that go? You can go ahead and see if there's some criminal activity going on, bring it up to the state attorney general or a prosecuting attorney, see if they'll take the case, and in either event, it's 2 years out before there's going to be a resolution or a decision one way or another, and nobody cares anymore. It's long gone. So these things, of course, the administrative remedies need to be followed through on, and they are in both cases, but it's not going to help us right now. It's just not. It's not going to enjoin things from going further or anything. They decided, they bamboozled it through, away it goes. But in the process, there was this one incident that occurred Saturday afternoon, the second day of the convention in Spokane, where the McCain people said that they're just getting tired of the convention and they want to leave, and they're not going to contest a bunch of the Ron Paul people's resolutions so long as they don't disparage McCain or try to get any resolutions going about the war. Because as everybody knows, even though almost everybody in America wants the war in Iraq to end, John McCain is on record as saying he'll stay there for 100 years if necessary. So we can't have anti-war platform going forward with the Republican Party because their candidate is really into perpetual war, and much to the chagrin of the average Americans. Well, anyway, at some point, the Ron Paul people wanted to get on the party platform something about being opposed to the national ID. And it was at that point that the McCain people walked out of the convention. It was the dangest thing. I saw it from across the street, and I'm wired, so I'm listening, and then I'm watching them pour out, just about 400 of these guys. And I thought, wow, what on earth is going on? So they went out. What they were hoping was that there would not be enough Ron Paul people in there to reestablish a quorum and that the convention would be over and all their petty little issues would just kind of come to an end. Well, it didn't happen. What happened was 400 people left. There's over 600 people still in there. They did have enough for a quorum, and they began taking up business again. And what caused that to happen is the McCain camp lost control of its people because a bunch of the party faithful realized what was going on. They saw that this suddenly is not an open meeting. This is not an open process. And that the Ron Paul people, while maybe being divisive, were just discussing the issues. And so a lot of people in the McCain side, part of the establishment, really got a lesson in civics that day, and they stuck it out, and I believe that their lives are changed forever, and they're going to take that into their precincts, into their homes, and into their neighborhoods, and into their businesses, and wherever they talk to people, and say, wow, this is what happened at the convention, and we're all in deep trouble in America. So it's traveling upwards even from that level, and that was, you know, perversely, I suppose, encouraging that the authoritarian antics that are, and now let's face it, let's review the hierarchy. We've got county central committees. They report or get their marching orders from the state central committees. They get their marching orders from the national central committee, which gets its, in this case, marching orders from the Bush administration, which gets its marching orders from the CFR, which gets its marching orders from international banking. So if you see that ascendancy here, we now have at the lower levels, which is the support base of the whole dang cabal, is people really beginning to question the process, and rightly so. And as people get more and more aware, as there becomes more and more of them who are aware, then that is strength. And as people gain strength and understanding, then the authoritarian antics that these people are going to have to employ to keep people in line will have to grow in their overt nature, and they're just continuing to expose themselves. And so strangely, I guess maybe this is the way it's supposed to be, but the machine itself, for politics as normal, is wielding its ugly head, and more people are seeing it because they're becoming involved and they're becoming aware.
Well, now we need to learn a lesson from that, and it would seem to me that we can let everyone else know what's going on as these conventions or caucuses come up. And they're scheduled to come up at a certain rate or a certain pace on certain dates. So,
right. Several of them have transpired at this time. Nevada freaked out. On April 26th, it was a Saturday, the whole convention had already been going badly for the establishment Republicans, and then Mitt Romney came out and stumped for John McCain, and he got polite applause and everything, and then Ron Paul came out and gave a 14-minute speech that had the whole place rocking. McCain supporters, Paul supporters, everybody, and then they began voting, and the balloting was coming in at 7-1, and so the chairman, Bob Beers, I believe is his name, maybe Jim, it's Bob Beers, came out and said that the Peppermill Hotel in Reno, which is where the event was taking place, a room which held about 2,000 people and was pretty full, wanted us to leave because we're going over time. And so he recessed the convention. I mean, he was in violation of county rules and state rules and national rules to do it, but he recessed the convention, blaming the Peppermill, which is on record as saying, no, we didn't kick you guys out. I mean, you have the room for the rest of the evening, and you have it booked for the next day. So what gives? But they freaked out. They didn't know what to do. And then when people did not leave, they shut the lights out, turned off the PA system, and left the building.
Hmm.
It was the dangest thing. And then on May 16th, having learned from what happened in Nevada, the Hawaii convention, Republican convention, came to Honolulu with a scripted convention, came in, boom, 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 with about 125 ringers, I might add, and just got what they wanted and left. Just completely violated every rule of order, every bylaw, in order to accomplish this feat. And then Washington happened, and I think at about the same time we have Montana, Oklahoma just happened, and so I think I'm going to try to pull together a review of these conventions as they've played out, because each one of them in its unique way was bamboozled towards a predetermined outcome of a McCain nomination by the state leadership. Again, under the marching orders of the RNC, the White House, the Bilderbergers and the CFR, and apparently the global banking network.
Yeah, you're describing a snow job in late spring.
You know? That's happening. It seems to be out west. And I think what my gut feeling is that what's going on here is that it doesn't matter to these people really whether McCain or Hillary or Obama wins, because they're all different sides of the same coin. If you can have three of them on one coin, I suppose that's what they are. And the wild card in all of this is Ron Paul, and it's catching on like wildfire, even though there is a revolution going on in this country, but the media is not televising it. But they are very, very concerned, to the point that they are willing to possibly disqualify various, I think particularly at this point, Western states from participating in the national convention to attain it. They, under no circumstances whatsoever, is Ron Paul to gain a fair shot at the state conventions. They are to be scripted. They are to be bamboozled into a McCain nomination, period, no matter what. And I suspect that it's because that whatever is on the horizon for America right now is really pretty lousy. And the thing that they see is standing in their way is people waking up. And it's happening under the guise of the Ron Paul Revolution. Not the guise, but under the banner of the Ron Paul Revolution.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's one major aspect of it. I don't think it's the only one, but certainly it is a major aspect. So,
well, it's the thing that's carrying so many people's energy into the political arena where a lot of things are being exposed. And so that's, the statement I made was to qualify, we've got McCain, he's one of them, Hillary's one of them, Obama's one of them at levels that are just now being revealed primarily by you. And I don't think that it worries them very much which one of them actually becomes the one. The only one they can't have for certain is Ron Paul, because an awakened populace would completely crash the whatever plans, probably deep, dark, horrible, rotten, nasty, sinister plans they have for us, and it appears to be going forward as we speak, and whatever is going to happen to us is probably just around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Now, simultaneously, and this is a sidelight that's really related to all of this corruption, subsequent with the announcement that Barack got all these votes, they pumped this on the mainstream media nonstop, and they've been doing this on, I don't watch the TV, I'll turn it on just to see what they're talking about, and all the major networks are nonstop talking about Barack Obama and Hillary dropping out, and Glenn Beck is slamming Obama now as if he's building up McCain by doing that. And so that is their mode now, is to stay on that issue, right, to deal with the negative, talk about the loser. What's going on in Europe? They had a major bust of a lockbox facility, actually three of them. Scotland Yard took 300 officers and surrounded these three buildings, and they took possession of 7,000 lockboxes and walk-in vaults. Evidently, they have found a cache of stolen government money. We're talking all this money we've been talking about and reporting in your newspaper for the past year and a half, actually, is they made a major find, a major connection, and it leads straight to the White House. It leads straight
really?
To
is
the
White House. Really? Is this all part of the WADA thing? And I apologize. I'm not even aware of this development.
Oh, yes, it's part of that, and it's also part of Basel II and their noncompliance with Basel II. Yes, it's posted on my website. If you go to directlightproductions.com, read the last two or three news articles, and you will see.
Okay, well, very good.
There, it's it's pretty phenomenal. And so we're getting the smoke screen. All the while, they're trying not to let us look, but this is valid stuff. This is very valid. And, of course, Christopher Story reported this stuff, but it didn't come through intelligence agencies here in the United States. It's what's going on in England. Scotland Yard went in with 300 commando-style police, and they literally took possession of these lockboxes, and each lockbox is being treated as a crime scene. Now, there may be a couple of those that belong to innocent victims who happen to use the same facility. But what's interesting is this has been going on since the late 1980s, which is synchronous with the Wantagate story. And the three individuals who are running the ring are from South Africa, which ties into much of the chaos going on in South Africa, in Rhodesia, in Rwanda, in Zimbabwe. It all ties in together. And it's not just money, it's jewels and other things too. So
well, when you say that's really kind of interesting. Understanding the connections of all of this stuff, what I'm just asking you, Don, what do you think is the significance of Scotland Yard, which has always been a player and part of the protection racket for these criminals? What do you think is the significance of this? Is it some kind of a rift within the establishment, or is it some kind of a statement that's being made to throw the public off, to make them think that there's actually some investigation going on?
No, it's an Illuminati rift, okay?
Okay.
You have Faction 1 and Faction 2. Faction 2 is trying to create this North American Union, okay? And they're trying to keep these wars going on. They'll do it anyway, regardless of who gets in office, with the exception of Ron Paul. He won't stand for it. But you also have to look at the recent testimony of this Greenberger, who talked about how screwed up the books are, and he was talking about all the corruption before Congress 2 days ago, while this bust was going on over there in England, and it was as though his and his voice was shaking. His hands were shaking on camera. And he was sitting before Congress for quite a long time detailing all the specifics about how corrupt the markets are, how corrupt the Treasury is, everything, the billing departments, everything. There's no accountability for anything. It's all corruption. He was flat out just saying it. And it was as though this was some kind of warning to those who have been compromised in the Congress and in the Senate. It's you got to read between the lines when these things go on. But they were definitely trying to get people not to even pay attention. You haven't heard a lick about that on TV other than on C-SPAN.
No, it's really something. Maybe I'm out of touch, but I haven't heard anything about that either. We're discussing two different really major developments here that are seemingly related that I wasn't even aware of, Don.
Oh, yes. And while that was going on, I was doing my research on the Three Stooges.
I think that we have a whole cast of Stooges, don't we?
Yes. Well, you know, we're out of time. Is there you and I ate up this whole second portion here. Is there anything else that you want to add, Ingrid, to this whole thing?
No, she got bored and left.
Oh, my
goodness. Actually, just went out and took care of a couple of things, and so I would be happy to. How much more time do we have, actually?
Well, we can roll for a couple more minutes because we got a late start, and I don't want to cut you off. I know you had plenty that you wanted to say, but you asked me what's going on, and I.
Boy, I got a load, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I'm very in right now. Actually, just so everybody knows, the reason I have so much juice on this Ron Paul revolution thing is because I've watched what it's done to people. I've seen sleeping people come alive. I've seen young people. Like I said, I mean, there were people at a convention, and now I really believe that we should dress appropriately for whatever it is we're doing. That's a lesson that we learned a long time ago. You know, put on the uniform so that you can be most effective in whatever environment you're in. And so I don't necessarily agree with people showing up at a convention with shorts and thongs and tattoos all over their bodies and nose rings and stuff. But it was, I mean, this is what our country has become, regardless. I mean, these are the people that are in it. And a lot of these folks, I mean, every single one of them was very committed to what they were doing. They were very proud to be representing their people and felt very much like a part of their future, and that they were doing something proactive to brighten it, and it was just awesome. I mean, just I'm just absolutely thrilled to have been a part of that, and then to see establishment types who believe in the system realize, based on the model that is being set here, that the system that they believed in for so long is really a closed system. They only thought it was open because they agreed with it. And now let me go ahead and mention something else too. I talked to a John McCain guy when all the John McCain guys were leaving the Washington Convention. I can spot a story when it's coming. And so I went over and talked to this guy, and I know how to talk to people. I know how to interview people, and usually if I want to interview somebody, it's because I want to draw them out. I want to get the information they have to give me. And this guy told me, in essence, because it's a mind-boggling to me, that these people can't see what we see. They just don't see what we see. The Ron Paul is the only hope for America. You vote for any of these guys, particularly that dope McCain, who isn't even really a McCain, just like a Bush isn't even a Bush. And I just can't believe that they can't see what's going on, even after a 15-minute conversation with me about what's really happening. They're absolutely committed to an idea. And if you're ready for this, this is just shocking to me, but I want everybody who's listening to understand. I believe that what I got from this guy, I talked to a couple other people too, but he, I believe, really, really epitomizes and embodies exactly the mindset that we're up against here, at least in this political spectrum, as we're attempting to get a real nominee for Republican for president. And this guy said, he's not the perfect candidate, meaning McCain, but the party chose him. And so if you are a member of the Republican Party, you have three choices yourself. You can support the candidate, and or you can support Ron Paul and divide the party and therefore weaken it, or you can stay home and shut up.
Mm-hmm.
How's that? And I believe that is exactly the framework that most Republicans use in dealing with the Ron Paul supporters. Support him because the party has nominated him. Doesn't matter whether you like him or not. Support him, divide the party, weaken it, or stay home. What are you going to do? And they view people, the Ron Paul people, as dividing and weakening the party. Isn't that the dangest thing? And so now we have on the 12th to the 14th the Idaho Republican Convention coming up, and just a twist of fate has placed a lot of the burden of really mobilizing that effort in Ingrid and I's laps, and we're going to be spending the next week and a half pretty much dedicating our lives to it, because it's true, folks. The last and best chance that we probably have to turn this thing around is right now. It's the Ron Paul Revolution, and a lot of people are jumping on board, and it's a visible operation, and it's really, really speaking to the hearts and minds of people, and I encourage you to really prioritize your activism in this area. And if you really want to know how to do that, all you have to do is drive around until you see a Ron Paul sign, walk up to the door, knock on it, and say, I'm a Ron Paul supporter too, and you will find that you've just arrived home. You're not hooking up with a stranger, you're hooking up with a family member, and it's magnificent. I advise it highly. Your faith in America and faith in your fellow man will be rejuvenated tremendously if you get involved.
Well, after you've had a chance, Don, to catch up on some of these things that I was talking about, I left out a reference to the Basel II Agreement.
Okay.
And the Basel II Agreement, which I have talked about and alluded to, actually, I alluded to Basel in the Wantagate stuff. The Basel II Agreement is the global compliance to a gold standard. We were to have complied with that no later than December 1st, 2007. And like the WANTA settlement payments, like the payouts, the Tier 1 through 10 payments, it's been a shell game between Citibank, Goldman Sachs, Wachovia, J.P. Morgan, or Morgan Stanley, and all Bank of America, all the other banks playing ping pong with that money. Now, the gold standard is the issue because we are not in compliance with the rest of the world. The G7 has voted to take action, and the reason they're raising the oil prices is to compensate for the money they're losing in participation with the rest of the world market. We are violating the Basel II Agreement, and that is some of what Mr. Greenberger brought out in his testimony before Congress. Now, Basel II is also a key issue here because it rings loudly of what Ron Paul's message has been: do away with the Federal Reserve, get rid of the IRS, because they're illegal foreign corporations and they have nothing to do with our country. They're part of the fiat usury system together, and they're just feeding these corrupt bankers who are bent on taking down our country. So that is critical for people to understand that is going on. And whatever way you can in your communications with these other people as these conventions and caucuses continue to make people aware of that. That's the reality.
I'm online right now, and I'm checking out that Professor Michael Greenberger of the University of Maryland, apparently, and he typically testifies before Congress on issues, and so I'm definitely going to research that, Don, because I think that you're right. That's a very critical commentary.
Yes, and both you and the listeners can visit my website, directlightproductions.com, and go to the news page or the articles page to read about any of the things we've been talking about. And we've got another blockbuster article coming out, the second half of McCain and maybe Obama, right?
In the next I think that we should. It's quite obvious. I mean, what's going to happen is this agreement or this little confab that Hillary, isn't that something? She's not even going to be President Clinton. She's going to be Hillary. Nobody's going to call her President Clinton if she were elected or if she were put in that office. She'd always be Hillary.
Or
wow. How bizarre. And even President Obama doesn't really have much of a ring either, does it?
Oh, no, not hardly.
But,
well, maybe we
but what are we thinking?
One...
Are they gonna agree that one's going to be the other's running mate or something? Is that what's going to happen? Are they going to give solidarity to the party by making that announcement?
Well, I think that's going to depend on the Bilderberg group, actually, what their intentions are.
How do you qualify that, too? I'm just curious your thoughts on that, because that particular group is generally met in secret forever. They've been taking great pains, actually, to meet in secret and do so offshore, not usually in the U.S., as at least as far as I'm aware. And so why the public meeting at a semi-public place? What do you think is the mechanism here?
Well, they have incredible security around wherever they meet. Only Alex Jones can get a near them with a bullhorn. That's about it. First of all, there's an interesting, let's say, parallel to both of those candidates that you mentioned. They both have ties with the Rockefeller family. Now, this goes back several generations. In fact, I can tell you this. I'm giving away part of what's in an article. Grandparents, the great grandparents of Obama, on his mother's side, leased their farm to Standard Oil Company, and they made what was called a modest living. They had a farm, and they made a modest living by the oil leases that Standard Oil contracted with them. So they have a tie to the Rockefellers going back to his so-called great-grandparents. But it's very dubious whether or not they are his great-grandparents.
Right.
We'll say that much. And then, of course, we know that the same connection is on the Clinton side. Obviously.
Sure.
It's been there. So all these people are, and who runs the Bilderberg group? I mean, David Rockefeller is one of the main players in that group.
So Bill Clinton, eh?
Oh, yes. Bill Clinton's in there. Bill Gates' wife has been seen there. They get one reporter from the New York Times and at least one from the Washington Post so that they know what they're not to print, basically, and
sure.
What they're supposed to print. So they figure all that out. They figure out what the price of oil is going to be, what they're going to put in our water, in our food, in our skies, what they're going to tell the UN, what the UN is going to tell us. You know, it's all planned out, and it's very sinister.
Well, I think it's really interesting, though, that they are coming out of the closet, so to speak, because I remember when I first started this alternative press gig 15 years ago, that when you bring up Bilderbergers, or the Bilderbergs, it was something that was right out of Spotlight, the Spotlight newspaper. It was deep conspiracy. It was Jim Tucker and Cloak and Dagger, and it was maybe not even real. But, I mean, it had that chimerical sort of feeling to it. And now, it's front page news. How about that?
They say. Yeah, they say many of these people are the same people that go to the Bohemian Grove, too. So,
right. Is that front page news? That's probably not front page news.
not front page news.
That'd be a little stretch. I think Americans would really freak out if the same people that are doing the Bilderberg Group thing pay homage to an owl.
They pay homage to quite a bit more than an owl, my friend.
Yeah.
And you have to ask that question, who? Who?
Yeah, who? Who? You mean they're not Methodists?
Yeah, that's questionable.
Yeah.
Well, it's been interesting. You know, keep us posted, and you guys are going to be on the show again this month, actually. I booked you, I think, in the third week. You're
okay.
Coming on again, if Ingrid didn't tell you. So
she did not, but that's okay. Well, we can do her. Be happy to. And then your listeners may as well be apprised. There is a Revolution for Freedom. It's a Ron Paul top-heavy event in Sturgis, South Dakota, on the 2nd through the 6th of July this year. Ron Paul's going to be there, among other folks. Myself and Ingrid and a couple of our friends are going to drive on over. It's going to be quite an event. If you're interested, I really highly suggest it. It's a 900-mile trip for us, and we're just calling it Woodstock for Patriots. And it's really reasonably priced. Camping spaces are $125. If you want an exhibition booth, it's $50. And it's going to really be something else, everybody. And if you want to check it out, go to Revolution4Freedom.com. Revolution4Freedom.com, and it'll get you there. I think it's going to be a magnificent event, and would love to see you all there. So, and we'll be leaving for that on the 1st of July. So the next time we chat, Don, I guess it'll be just days before we take off on that adventure.
Okay, and I also want to encourage people to visit your website, idaho-observer.com or proliberty.com. That's the automatic redirect, right?
Right, yeah, idaho-observer.com will get you there.
Okay, or call as well, call 208-255-2307 for a subscription to the Idaho Observer. You will not regret it.
I appreciate that, Don. We've also reprinted a couple of, printed a couple of other pieces of counter-propaganda that are highly effective and inexpensive. So if you want to help to change people's minds, get them thinking, we've got some rather effective literature to turn them around.
Okay, send me some of that, too. I'll post some stuff on my site, if you would be so kind.
Oh, sure, be happy to.
Anything that's appropriate to do that, let's say.
We'd be happy to do that. Just spread it around. All we're into this for is awakening the hearts and minds of Americans so they deserve something better.
Okay. Well, thanks for all the wonderful information. Give Ingrid our best.
I will do that.
And I'm looking forward to our communications in the near future and our work. Folks, you need to understand we work feverishly on the information that we're putting together for you. So you're in for a
chat
real
with you in the morning.
Yes. Absolutely, we will. And I want to thank you again, Don. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. Our special guests tonight were Don Harkins and Ingrid Castle from the Idaho Observer. Again, please subscribe to the Observer. You must keep up to date with what's happening. You won't find what they publish anywhere in the mainstream media. Give them a call at 208-255-2307. They are on the Pacific Daylight Time schedule, so anytime probably from normal morning hours until early evening, you can subscribe, or you can go online to idaho-observer.com. In the meantime, I want to thank Don Newsom, and my new sponsor, hempusa.org, and Tom James, as well as now we have a new engineer, and I'm trying to think if I remember her name. She said her name to me, and I'm just going to say Marcy for right now, and Seth Hendrick on the sound. And you can spank me later on after we go off the air. In the meantime, peace, love, and light. Everyone, have a good night.